and welcome. This is Trials and Tribulations. I'm Phil Airy, and I've got my two cohorts,
Sarah Owen Hughes
and me, Faith Douglas.
Well, here we are back at Thorpe Perro, and it is obviously the best time to come because it's autumn.
Okay, so this is the Acer Glade.
Yes.
We've got several areas of interest within the Arboretum. As you walk around, you will see pockets of autumn colour everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's specifically designed to help to hold these certain areas which are predominantly planted for autumn colour. So this is the Acer Glade. Does exactly what it says on the tin.
Stunning.
Full of aces. As you can see, some have already gone over. But just look at the colours.
It's funny, isn't it? Because people talk about autumn colours as if they're muted. But I think because our eyes have been so saturated with light during the summer, we don't fully appreciate them. But if you look at the yellow of that Acer over there, it's the most magnificent butter yellow as a ginkgo. Yeah. Really, really glorious. And it's right next to a scarlet tree that looks like it's on fire.
Yeah. It's interesting because, do you know, it's different every single year. Yeah. So the yellow of that tree always turns yellow each autumn. Mm. But each autumn it's a different shade of yellow.
Yeah.
And some years it's a good year for yellow.
Yes.
Some year is a good year for reds. I think the reds are looking slightly orangey.
Yes.
You can see the aces into the distance there. That I've seen that go much deeper, a scarlet red.
Yeah.
I think it's tinged with orange, so the reds are quite orangey this year. Sometimes it just looks brown, but golden.
Yeah.
More exotic.
Yeah.
But, you know, and each year is completely different. So I really think, you know, you'll never see the same look twice, will you?
No,
never.
No.
Even in your own garden, you won't see that.
And it is all to do with the build-up of the different chemicals in the leaves over the year. So it is to do with the light quality that they've had in the spring and summer.
Yeah. So and the water, isn't it? It's the water,
it is the
rainfall
water
that they've had throughout the year affects the changes that they have. Something I have noticed, Sarah, maybe you can shed some light on this.
Go on.
Is I've noticed over perhaps maybe the past 5 years, some trees that should change aren't changing.
Yeah, I think we're getting those slightly milder winters.
Right.
And they're not getting the cold snap that shocks them.
Yeah.
You may have noticed this year as well, we've just not had quite the same level of fruit that we've had. So apple trees have had plenty of apples, but they don't taste very nice.
Mm.
Things like plums.
They're a little bit bitter, aren't
they?
Yeah,
they're a bit bitter, a bit watery. Mm. Plums have gone over with brown rot really quickly this year.
I noticed that with mine, actually.
Oh, and we've had at the flower show, at the vine stand, quite a lot of people commenting on it. And it's quite common for plants to have an off year, for fruit trees to have an off year. But also we've had 4 or 5 super abundant years where we've had a little bit of a cold snap, a super hot summer, and we've had the most amazing crops. So the trees are exhausted.
Yeah.
So they're having a bit of a rest. So it's not a problem. But now's an opportunity to give them a lovely mulch.
Yeah.
Keep them nice and healthy for next year and watch out for fungal pathogens.
Yeah.
We're amazing path with all the red aces. What are they called?
So this is the main avenue.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most well-known photographed area of the Arboretum.
Yeah.
You've got the monument at one end. You've got the house at the other end.
And
what you'll note, it's very cleverly planted because you see these stunning aces. So this is Acer palmatum azakazuki. It goes a really scarlet red. And as I said, it, you know, it is slightly orangey this year, but it still looks fantastic.
Mm.
But the reason why it stands out so well is if you look behind the acers, you've got the Ulnus caudata, the Italian alder, which has such a, if you look at the leaf colour, it's such a really dark green colour, very late into the season. So you've got this really dark, full backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes the red really stand out. It's very cleverly done.
It does. And you've also got yellowy trees in the far distance in the borrowed landscape.
Ooh.
So again, a perfect foil for the red, so you can really enjoy them.
Yeah, and you've got, if you look at this end, the this is actually the third main avenue. So the first main avenue was elm trees.
Okay.
70s Dutch elm disease
Wiped
out. Mm-hmm. The second main avenue they had was tulip trees.
Oh,
And you can just see here, they're just starting to turn this lovely butter yellow. You've got two big ones on the right, a big one on the left-hand side there, and there's a much smaller one coming up just in front here. So you'll have that really bright yellow, which mirrors that sort of side as well.
Nice.
But they got to a decent size, and they took the rabbit guards off the tulip trees. They had a bad winter, and you can imagine what happened. Rabbits were hungry, ring-barked, lost the avenue. And actually, they didn't look great, not that I saw it, but I was told. You get westerly winds coming down here, so the avenue was growing on a slant because it's, you know, it's a great tree in its own right, but as a formal avenue, it probably wasn't the best kind of tree. But, you know, the Italian alder was a real sort of sentiment to the old Victorian garden of the main house, which was Italian themed. And then to put this, you know, really stunning Azakazuki in front is just brilliant. Shall we walk through to the
autumn
maze?
Let's do that. I mean, like you say, it's common with most big manor houses that they have the avenues. And it is stunning.
It's a real viewpoint. A real viewpoint.
It's a statement.
It is. So, I mean, you will see, as you look into the distance, you'll see lots of little flashes of autumn colour. And in this area here, we've done a lot of new planting. So we've put a lot of euonymus underplanted in amongst all these picea. And when they start to turn, and of course they bear the amazing fruits as well, because we noticed this area here was quite dull and dark. So just underplanting it with a snap of autumn colour and some berries for interest, it is great, and it sort of blends nicely into the autumn bays.
And it is something that people ask me every year. I just love crisping through the leaves. Adults don't do it often enough. It's really joyful.
They should.
Really joyful. But every single year, someone will send me a picture going, what on earth is this? And it's always euonymus, where you see those bright. Which way around is it? Is it an orange berry with the pink seed in the middle?
No, it's pink berry casing, with the orange seed.
Yeah, pink casing, orange seed. And there's some here just to the right.
Do you know, it's such an underrated plant. I have one in my garden. I love it. Absolutely love it. I mean, look, here we go.
Oh, look at those.
I mean, and they also have great autumn colour.
People can't believe that you get those colours in nature. They think it's some sort of strange hybrid. But this is a European native hedge.
Absolutely. So there you've got the berries, the casing, which is bright pink. And it really is. It's like flamingo pink, that, isn't it?
It is.
And then it opens up, and inside you've got these wonderful bright orange, quite dark orange, aren't they? Berries, seeds. Which just look amazing. I love it. It's one of my favourites.
And they do look, the casings look like little pink pumpkins as well, don't they? It's really seasonal.
And do you know what this is, Sarah?
Not off the top of my head. No.
This is a Duquesnia.
Right.
This will go. There's still an awful lot of colour to come. But this is also known as the blue bean tree. So this will turn butter yellow, and it's actually something you could realistically put in your own garden, because you can prune it and it doesn't grow overly big. It's a very large shrub. But it does display these amazing big blue beans. And if we can find some...
Is there some? Can you see it?
That looks like a pod.
Not a pod, no.
What you find, because this one's exposed, is people take them.
That's nice.
So there was somewhere on this side, which I can't see. There we go. So can you just see up there? They will get there, quite small ones, but you get great, big, thick, bright blue. And blue's not a colour you often see, is it?
Not in nature, no.
And with the blue and the yellow.
Dusty as well, aren't they? Dusty
And they're full of really gloopy seeds as well. They're quite interesting.
I've seen them described as dead man's fingers for Halloween trails before, because putting your hand inside to touch the beans is pretty grim.
So, this is Autumn Bay 1. Should we walk up and through it?
Why not?
So we've got three Autumn Bays. And this is where we hold the National Collection of Cattinus, or smoke bush.
Lovely.
And you can just see at the top there on the right, starting to change, starting to give us those absolutely amazing colours. But you can. There's still a lot to change. Around, there's still a lot to come, isn't there?
And we're looking at the very end of October, beginning of November. So it's funny, someone said to me the other day, Aprils are always colder than you remember and Octobers are always warmer. Yeah. And I really like that because it has been really warm, hasn't it?
We've not
had huge amounts of rain and it's been quite temperate.
But it's been getting milder and milder for some time, hasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
It's like stormy warm, don't you think? We've had some...
Yeah, it feels like something brewing.
Yeah, we've had some quite strong winds, and it's something you always dread in autumn in a place like this.
In an arboretum.
Because you're like, okay, well, all the leaves are on, and then that's when you look at the ground, because they make beautiful carpets of leaves.
Yeah.
But because of the clever planting, this is a really protected area, so our pockets of autumn colour are actually really well protected. So you can see that all the leaves are still on the plants.
But the problem is sometimes, like as we're recording this last night, it was really windy.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, if you get a real strong wind, it can go like that.
Yeah. And it's on the floor, and that's something you dread, gales.
Yeah.
October, November gales, your autumn colour's on the floor.
Yeah.
So this is walking through into Autumn Bay 2. And it's interesting how it changes in a different pattern because of light levels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The different areas that receive the most sunlight. I mean, the tree we have here on the left, this is a protea, so this is Persian ironwood.
Yeah.
And this is the one that I was saying that actually, that you can see it's starting to give some colour.
Yeah. Mm.
And usually these change, purples, reds, pinks.
You'd expect it to be crimson by now.
Yeah, but more and more the past few years I see these dropping green leaves, and you'll stand underneath it and it's mostly green that's on the ground.
Yeah.
So don't get a chance.
Yeah, there is a parotia further up the top which has changed, and it always does, but it's very orange. You don't get those reds and purples. Like this here is going quite yellow, isn't it?
Is so it a bit more exposed up at the top?
It is. It's just up there, and I think it is higher up. But you see, these cotinus have still got to go.
Yeah.
Grisium up there hasn't changed at all.
Look at that.
I know.
So there's an awful lot of colour still to come. I think we'll have it well into November.
And that's actually really lovely, because you're getting the reds and the oranges and the golden browns and the sort of the burnt umber colours.
Yeah.
But they're balanced out with the greens as a great foil.
Mm. Yeah.
So you'll get a really good continuation of colour for a bit longer yet. Yeah, there's just really not much going on with the parotias, is there?
I've seen it year on year, and I've gone, you know, why?
Yeah.
There's the chemical changes that should be or need to happen aren't happening, are they?
Yeah, they're not getting the signals.
But if you look at the parotia at the top here, this always changes early because this is more exposed.
Yeah.
But it's lacking the reds and the maroons and the purples and the pinks, which it should display. Which is certain chemicals, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your ginkgo here, that's our biggest ginkgo.
That should be butter yellow by now, shouldn't it?
Well, that usually turns November. It's usually very late coming that one.
And this leaves are starting to go.
Yeah.
It's my absolute favourite tree is ginkgo.
Yeah. Little baby one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lovely, lovely leaves, aren't they?
Edible,
young edible leaves, used a lot medicinally for brain function,
dementia,
aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, dementia, Alzheimer's.
Yeah, you can get a lot of herbal places sell them, don't they?
Mm. Biloba, meaning two lobes.
Yeah.
It's one of only four deciduous conifers. Mm. Most people don't believe me when I say that's a conifer, because they think conifers have needles.
Yes.
Those are actually fused needles.
Mm.
And they predate the dinosaurs. They are proper ancient survivors. They're really fascinating trees. Yeah,
living fossil, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Like me.
We're not going to argue with that.
Do you know what I was just about to say? But the male ones really can be quite potent. I was genuinely going to say that about the male, but that's you walked straight into that.
I've got broad shoulders.
Oh dear. So we're just coming down Autumn Bay 2. We've put this new path in this year. Obviously, you know, we have a lot of footfall here.
Mm.
Most of our areas are grassed because aesthetically it looks better.
Yeah.
But we notice this area gets really boggy underfoot, and it can be very difficult to make it accessible for everybody.
Yeah, I was just noticing the other over there, it was starting to get very boggy.
Yeah, so we've put this path up where it naturally wears away anyway.
Yeah.
And actually, it's great now that people with wheelchairs, pushchairs can now access the whole of the Autumn Bays, which is really, really good. So, this is Autumn Bay 3. And this is always last to change, and you can see there's still a lot of colour to come, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Silver birch has gone over already. That was glorious.
Yeah,
about
a week ago.
They've
been great this year. Mm.
And do you know the thing that I always think is really clever that Selena did is the blue. You see how there's the blue spruce in the backdrop with all the colour around
it? Yeah,
yeah. And we've actually, Lady R and I have actually mimicked a lot of that. So there's lots of blue planted around that are still yet to come up.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, in a few years' time, hopefully we'll start seeing what we've been doing as well. But I love the blue. Look at that.
It's stunning.
Yes, if you look at some of the really, really dark purples, of things like the purple beaches or whatever, you don't really see them, do you? You need a yellow or a blue next to it to really highlight it and make a picture of it.
I mean, look at this. Perfectly placed.
Privet.
It's a variegated privet.
Privet, yeah.
And that's used a lot as well. You can see it back there. And actually, in amongst everything else, it works.
I prefer a privet to be this than the privet hedge. Yeah. I don't like privet hedges, never have. And when it becomes a bush and a tree, looks so much better.
Yeah, and doesn't it lend itself?
And the variegated one obviously is
lightens up the area.
Yeah.
I'm like that with box as well. I remember the first time I went up Box Hill in Surrey, and I couldn't work out what these really amazing dark green shrubs were everywhere that were growing tall and wild, and they were box trees.
Because
we pruned them down to 20-30 centimetres of the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's our choice. I mean, I'm not keen on too formal. No. You know, I like to look natural and stuff like that. And when it's formal, like, you know, with hedging and box privet when it's really low, and it's not my cup of tea, but this is great.
This is still a framework, but without the formal lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just shows, you know, what they can look like.
Exactly.
That's what I love. And it's like the Cattinus. You know, look at the size.
Yeah.
Those predate 1960, those Cattinus.
Really, wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, it's not often you get to see them that size.
And the plumes of flower heads still on the tops as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why people thought it was a smoke bush. It looks like smoke signals on the top.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
Fantastic.
So what's this? What's the sea I see above me?
So, keeping with the Halloween-y type theme, as we're walking down here, and especially as it's silhouetted against the sky that is a real life. Which is broom.
Real.
Yeah.
Real, real, real.
Real life, which is broom. It's quite common to see them in pine trees, although I don't think I have for a very long time. It's more common on things like birch trees, on your silver birches. And we're not entirely sure what causes them. Sometimes it's fungus, a fungal infection. Sometimes it's insects. But it's normally something that's upset the natural balance within the tree. And so what it starts to do is produce dozens and dozens of young branches as a panic response. And that creates that big, what looks like a massive bunch of bristles or brooms up at the top there, which is why people thought it was a witch's broom. Completely harmless to the tree, doesn't stop it growing. If it happens on fruiting trees, and it sometimes happens on apples, it doesn't seem to stop the yield of the apple tree at all. But they're just fascinating, again, particularly at this time of year when you can see the silhouettes.
Yeah.
And you can quite imagine people thinking that witches harvested them to make the broomsticks, can't you?
I did hear that, and you can maybe correct me if this is wrong, that that's also they can be taken off and grafted as small dwarf conifers.
That's
a decent sized one here, but the biggest one I've ever seen is in a larch just over the other side.
Yes.
And it is enormous.
Huge.
The broom on it is like a tree in its own right.
Yeah.
But they're interesting, aren't they?
They are. I do like them, yeah. The other thing I like looking for at this time of year, although we don't see it up here so much, is mistletoe. If you ever go down to Malvern for the flower show there, as you drive in, you drive through the villages which have deliberately inoculated their trees with mistletoe, and you see these big balls as the leaves are coming down off the tree, these big evergreen balls of foliage, and the berries starting to form, which again is a parasite, but can also lead to witch's broom forming on the tree.
Well, we did that at Halticap.
Yes, yeah, still got them, still got them.
Andy and I put mistletoe
on the
trees.
Still on there. So you've got any here?
No, not mistletoe.
Oh, thank you. Lucky stars, ladies.
Maybe. Oh, goodness me. No, I've changed my mind, we're not putting
mistletoe. All right, okay, then. Right, so this is the start of a Halloween trail. I've had a cold, so my voice is really
husky for all the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons, yes. And it is just a cold. So anyway, so let's go down this little haunted trail.
So, oh, hold on, before we start.
Yeah.
I need to give you your trail sheets.
I can't see that. It's dusk.
You can. Have your night vision on.
Oh, gosh.
Have you, within half an hour, your night vision.
Well, I'm holding the microphone, so you tell me what I need to see.
You said that last time, so I had to write.
Yeah, no, that's why I always hold the mic, so
I
don't have to do this.
I seem to remember you cheating last time.
Cheating? I didn't even take part, really. I was with your daughter and...
Grab the sweets and run.
I just had fun.
There's a little pencil there for you, if you can see it.
Really?
Touch nothing and nothing will touch you.
All right, so I can't touch you too then.
If you dare, absolutely not. So we're walking across the bog garden.
Is that your plank?
That is if you want to walk the plank. As you can see, a few people already have walked the planks.
Oh, yeah.
With the legs sticking out.
Oh, I've just seen it, yes. Very nicely placed.
Pirate ship in the distance there.
Yeah, seen it.
Do you want to walk the plank, Phil?
No, I think I'm all right, actually.
Skull Island. The bog garden, perfectly placed for a Halloween trail, especially
very
at this
much.
Time of the year.
Seems to be an awful lot of skeletons.
Well, yeah.
And bones.
And well, a skeleton pirate in a hammock.
Yes.
He's sleeping, don't wake him up.
And the treasure of... Really? Did that make you jump as well? Do we do a sea shanty while we're here?
Did they just say, what do we do with the drunken Sarah?
The drunken Sarah. Yes.
I don't know.
Did they know you?
Yeah, obviously. Oh, I'll have to go back and apologise again.
Oh, God. Who is that in the garden? A pair of legs sticking out.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes, another one.
Who was that? Some gardener. Has been there for
some
time.
Yeah, she's got some decent boots, though.
Lovely, so how many people have you had, like, just today, or this is a Thursday? How many people have come to have a look around?
Today, yeah. I think we've had around 2,000 people come through the door, and about 1,500 season ticket holders as well.
Wow.
So this is the busiest time of the year for us at Thorpe. I think mainly because of the Halloween trail, because
it's
predominantly families that come bringing their kids out, and you can see why, because isn't it fantastic? The guys putting the trail out, Jenny who designs it, and the guys that help her put out, they do such a great job, and each year I just think it gets better and better and better.
So it's a good draw. It's a good thing to do. It's a fun thing to do.
Seems
to be a coffin lodged in a tree.
Yeah.
I don't know how it gets up there.
Oh.
Are those ghosts?
They are. Scary ghosts. So these are, I think this is the Wailing Woods. The Wailing Woods.
I think somebody's got my cold.
Are running a bit low.
And I mean, this is Springs Wood, and in the middle of Springs Wood is Pet Cemetery, which a lot of big stately homes have.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly placed for a Halloween trail. So the Pet Cemetery is always part of the Halloween trail. And what are these graves? What do these say?
Let's have a look. So be afraid.
Be very afraid.
Yeah. Vacancy, there's one free.
Yeah.
She always said her feet were killing her, and they did!
So one year, one of our neighbours, they had a wooden coffin in their front garden with what looked like a Dracula model in there. And it was actually the dad. And every time somebody walked past, he sat up and shrieked at them. And we could hear the screams up the street. So we knew when everyone came to us, and we never give sweets out. we're not mean, but what we do is we always give out little mandarins and we draw on them with marker pens to make them into little pumpkins. And because we always reckon by the time they get to us, they've got all the sugar they could possibly need.
Also, I think the parents would thank you for that, Sarah.
They do, well, they do, except we're called the fruit house, but not necessarily in a good way. And
there seems to be a noise coming from the top of the trees. Could it be bats?
That is actually,
a 2 foot animatronic bat giving it what for.
And we should tell everybody this is dusk.
This is dusk, it is actually dark, and there's nobody around apart from us silly fools.
Oh, who is this?
Oh, hello there. How do you do?
Well, there we go, you can get a Skelfie.
He's get a Skelfie.
Get a Skelfie.
Yeah, he's looking a little bit thin.
So there's a skeleton sat here on a bench.
Yeah. Now, the battery failed, so I'm on my mobile phone. I'm just saying, it's just there's far too much going on for the recorder.
That
is a cocoon, no, yes,
oh.
With a giant spider, with a zero. What's the zero? Is that
it's
what?
An O.
It's an O. Oh, it's an O.
We're not going to be getting a prize at the end because there is a prize. Come on. In the words.
What prize is it?
Sweeties.
Well,
you're your sweeties.
And why?
Also, a little bag with lots of goodies for those that don't want the sweeties.
So why? Why are we not getting sweeties?
Because you're not filling out the trail.
I'm walking the trail. That's good enough for me.
I want the answer, Phil.
That's good enough. The answer is Halloween. Is it?
No.
Oh. Oh no.
Oh, here we go.
So we've got the big lake on the side. Oh, hey, up. Oh. Who's this fella?
Trapping over my bridge.
Oh, right. He's a bit of a troll. Is that the troll singing? He's a bit gruesome, and this guy singing seems to be quite happy. Plus, his mouth's not moving, I'm just saying. Oh, I think.
Is it the gardeners?
I'm going to say, these are gardeners. They're not.
High quality not mowing equipment, though. Yeah, it takes them a while.
It takes them a while. To be honest, there's not much grass there, is there?
Are they just
trodden?
Have they been sat there waiting for the curator to say, get on with it?
Whatever. To bring them cakes and tea, to keep them going.
Right, she says you can mow now, you can move. Oh, I like the flat caps on the skeletons.
Yorkshire mowers.
Yorkshire mowers and growers. Oh, that looks a little bit. Scottish hat.
The bobble hat.
The beanie. Well, they've got wellies on as well.
It's spooky.
It is spooky. And now it's got quite dark. So I'm so glad that I'm in the presence of two ladies. It looks like a bit of a shed.
The witch is at home, I
think. Yeah. There seems to be a very ugly woman looking back at you. Oh, sorry, it's a mirror.
well, you were looking at it, remember?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Oh, these have to be my favourites up here. Look at these.
What? The badgers?
No. The yummy mummies.
Yummy mummies?
Yummy
oh,
mummies.
Hello.
Why did it come back in?
Oh, yes. Very gorgeous yummy mummies.
Yummy mummies? They look spectacular, don't
they? Yes. They don't look nothing like a mannequin from a supermarket type thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
God. The toll. The church rings.
It does.
Especially now, I have no idea where I'm going.
Oh, I know, it's getting darker because we're in amongst the conifers here, so obviously. Camping?
What? Camping. Oh, is it raining? They're not happy. They're not happy. It's raining. They're tenting.
Skeleton camping.
This could be the ultimate naturist camping.
They've got no clothes.
They just have no skin either. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the ultimate nature givers, you know what I mean? Bones. Now. You won't bite.
Medusa.
We should
just run. Let's go.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit lighter now. I'm happy.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, how spooky is that?
That's fantastic. What a fun activity. And that. It gets people out into nature, touching trees, looking at leaves, crisping through the dry leaves, all those things that we forget
yes.
to do as adults. You know, and the thing is, regardless of the weather, because I actually overheard a family saying that it was slightly overcast and a bit moody and a bit stormy, and it actually added to the Halloween atmosphere.
Yeah, for sure.
So have you
ever been round York on the ghost trail? You can't go in summer. It's not the same. You have to go in the autumn, winter months, because it's far better. So this has been fab. So I'm glad we did the autumn bit first, and then the trail after, because that was a little bit fun. So there we go. It's open. How is it closed?
Open from 10 till 4. You do have to book online though.
Right.
You do have to get slots and you do have to book online. www.thoughtperro.com.
Brilliant. Get your tickets and come down now. And if you're quick enough, you even see the Halloween trail.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. That's been another edition of Trials and Tribulations. Now, if you liked it, please subscribe and follow. But until next time, keep it green.